want you to take your Bible out or your Bible app out. Okay? As I share the Word of God today, I want you to remember Ehab, our missionary friend, Egyptian missionary friend, and his life, and allow his life to speak something deep inside of your soul. I want you to open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 24. We're going to read through 27. Hebrews chapter 11. You there? Hebrews chapter 11. Starting at verse 24. Everybody read with me. I'm going to read from New King James Version. Okay, ready? Go. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Everybody repeat after me, refused. I want you to say reward. And lastly, I want you to say left Egypt. Let me pray over you, God. Today, will you speak to every son, every daughter of yours that are in this room, that we would hear your voice, God, and that we would mature and grow up just like Moses did, and to refuse to be known as the son of Pharaoh, that we would choose to be known as your child, looking to the reward that you have prepared for us. So today, will you empower your sons and daughters to leave Egypt, whatever that means to them. Empower us, God, and help us to live with the sense of destiny that you have placed in every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So last season, we talked about your purpose and your identity, right? That your purpose in life, the purpose of you being alive and breathing air, the purpose of you being alive is to be loved by God, okay? You are to be the object of his love. And so if you allow God to love you, you are living out your purpose. The enemy doesn't allow us to do that, right? He always, you know, speaks all these lies and you feel forsaken and you fall into these lies and you're not able to receive the love of your Father. So if you are able to allow God to love you, you are living out your purpose. Amen? And your identity is not what you do, but whose you are. It's not for you to achieve certain goals and become successful or be the best in this or best in that, but that your identity is whose are you, that you are a child of God. And God had called us to live from that identity, to find our value from being a child of God, not from circumstances or how well you did this or how much your money you're making or no, just the fact that you belong to God. And then this season, we're talking about destiny. Your destiny is both your nature and your mission. Your destiny is a fire that God placed inside of you when you were born. The fire inside of you that in his time he wants to release it to the earth. Your destiny is what God had called you to do. And your very nature, your personality, your values, your passion, your desires, all that, he made it exactly what he desired. You understand? Your personality? Introverts, raise your hand. It's beautiful. God made you to be an introvert. You understand? Your personality, he gave it to you so that you are able to live out the destiny that God has. Because many of times the enemy lies, oh, you're too You're an introvert. You can't. Oh, you're an extrovert. Oh, you're too loud. You know, the enemy speaks lies. You understand? Your nature, who you are, inside and out, is perfect for the destiny that God had placed inside of you. You know, in this destiny series, what do we learn? We learn that God's destiny over your life is greater and bigger than any dream that you could think of. If you could think, man, if this happens, that would be, and God is saying, that's too small. Huh? David thought, if I could just be the best shepherd or the best warrior, but God was thinking, no, son, you're a king. It's bigger than, greater than what you could conjure up, like dream or think of. And we also learn that you need to pick up the pallet of by the pond where the enemy makes you accept blah, right? Just make yourself comfortable here. And in order for you to live out your destiny, you got to pick up your pallet and you must walk. And then last week we learned about the key to your destiny is to become a worshiper, right? To worship. Man, but when Benjamin said this, I was like, I'm going to write this down. I'm going to tweet this. This is what he said. God needed a king, so he looked for a worshiper. Man, isn't that good? He's not looking for someone with administrative gifts and who has, you know, loud voice and who has a lot of money. No, he needed a king, and he looked for a worshiper. Man, let's pray now. You know, today we want to talk about sense of destiny. Everybody say sense of destiny. Because God had put in every one of you fire, destiny, this greatness that God wants to release to this world in and through you. Only you could release it. But oftentimes we are unaware, right? But throughout our lives, he brings us this awareness, this feeling like there's more, that there's something inside, right? And so that's called sense of destiny. It's an inner conviction. Everybody say inner conviction. Sense of destiny is an inner conviction arising from your experiences or series of experiences that God has his hand on your life in a special way for a special mission. It's a growing sense of awareness of your destiny. And, you know, according to Robert Clinton, there are three stages for the note takers. There are three stages of sense of destiny. You ready for this? Number one, stage one is preparation. Okay? It involves God's preparatory work, bringing a growing awareness of sense of destiny. You know where this began in my life? I was like 7 years old, still living in Korea, and one day, my big brother and my big sister brought this comic book, right? Manhwa check, right? And then in there, it was about this orphan who loved playing soccer, right? And it talks about the story, the life that he had to overcome, and he became the one of the best soccer player, right? And so, as I'm reading this, something inside, I didn't think it was my destiny, but something inside of me was like drawn, like, to orphans. And an orphan overcoming life and becoming the best, something inside, yeah. And it's like, I'm not even an orphan, right? But something in me is like, ooh, this something awoke inside of me during that time. Many of you are still in the stage. You don't know, but all you know is there's just a sense. And then another thing that I was drawn to was miracles, like supernaturals. Like every time I saw something or I saw a video or I heard a testimony, I'm like, oh, never thinking that God can use me to perform miracles, right? But something inside of me, like, I want to hear more about it. Like, I want to see it. I want, you know, like, there's so many revival services I went from, wanting to see something about miracles. Like, something inside of me I was drawn to. Hmm? Stage two of sense of destiny is destiny revelation. This awareness moves to conviction. Everybody say conviction. As God gives revelation and confirmation, okay, for that conviction. You hear me? I remember just growing up in a Korean Presbyterian church, I felt something, but I was always taught, you're a girl, you're a woman, you are not allowed to teach and preach men, right? You are not, like, and I believe them, but something inside of me said, but there's more, right? There's more when somebody's sick with cancer and we're just, oh God, let your will be done. And when we pray those prayers at church, I was like, no, there's, really? Do we just, like, really? I remember, like, many times, right, going to the Korean 새벽 기도, like, morning dawn service, I was like, really struck, God, really? This is not what I read in the Bible. And then those moments, right, God speaking to me, will you believe? And will you rise up? Will you say to your church members, let's pray for healing? But I'm just a girl. When God starts to reveal through conviction, there's got to be something more than this. That's when I went on my first mission trip. God takes you from awareness to conviction. And then stage three, okay, destiny realization. Okay, this is building towards accomplishment of that destiny. You know, one of the burning bush experience that I had wasn't like, oh, holy moment. I went to Fuller Seminary for my master's degree, and guess what my major was? Sorry, children's ministry. Because that's all I was allowed to do. Okay? And then 1 year of being at Fuller and studying, right, I was like, oh, there's, and not that, you know, not that it's less or more, it just wasn't the destiny that got placed inside of me, even though my heart was for children that are orphaned, right? And so I remember after 1 year, God spoke to me and I changed my major from children's ministry, right, to intercultural studies. And in that moment, it's like, this is it. This is it. I knew that this was my destiny. Even when I realized that and where I am now, it's nothing like I expected. But that's okay. You hear me? God doesn't reveal 100% from the beginning. You know, according to Robert Clinton, less than 30% of leaders finish well. Less than 30%. He studied Old Testament leaders, New Testament leaders, contemporary leaders, and historical leaders that are dead, right? Out of all those leaders that he studied, less than 30% finished well. There's four ways you could finish, according to that research. Number one, cut off early. You sin, so he kills you early, or he removes you from your destiny. Cut off early, right? Right? Number two, you finish poorly. You started well, but you finished really poorly. Number three, finished so-so. Well, you know, it's not like you were first coming, right? But it was okay, so-so, right? And then number four, you finished well till the end. What did Joshua say at the end of his life? As for me and my house, that you are able to declare that till at the end of your life, right? So according to Robert Clinton, only less than 30% leaders finished well. And then he gave six characteristics that everybody who finished well had. You guys want to hear about this? Do you want to finish well? Because so many of us, we start so strong, right? January 1st, you know, you have workout, you know, you're going to read your Bible. You buy brand new Bible and a brand new journal, and you decorate it. And this year, I'm going to read through the whole Bible. And you start so well. But how many of us on December 31st say, wow, I'm finishing well. Yes, God, finishing the... How many of us? Do you want to finish well? Okay, then you must pursue these six characteristics that these leaders had. Number one, they maintained a personal, vibrant, everybody say vibrant, relationship with God right up to the end. Not when you first received Jesus, right? Right up to the end. Number two, they maintained a learning posture throughout their lives. That you're not too big, too small, or too successful. That they maintained a learning posture. Okay. Number three, they evidenced a Christ-likeness in character. Okay. They lived out the fruit of the Spirit. They were gentle. They were kind. Right? You Christian boys, right? You're worshiping Jesus, and once you get behind the car and somebody cuts you off and you, the words come out and the atmosphere changes. Come on, somebody. Christ-likeness, right, is lived out. And you know what? No condemnation. You just need to allow the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, as gentle and kind Benjamin is, he did have that road rage for a long time. You know what I had to do? Every time, he's like, what are they doing? I'm like, Pastor Benjamin? He's like, I don't call him Pastor, but in the car, I call him Pastor Benjamin. Right? Number four, truth is lived out in their lives so that convictions and promises of God are seen to be real. They don't just talk about it, they live it out, right? Number five, they leave behind one or more ultimate contributions to the body of Christ, okay? They leave behind an ultimate contribution. And number six, I say all these to tell you the six, okay? The sixth characteristic that every leader that finished well had was that they walked with the growing awareness of a sense of destiny. And they saw some or all of it fulfilled in their lives. Sense of destiny. Everybody say sense of destiny. Living with a sense of destiny will empower you to finish well. Amen? See, as we read, Moses had a sense of destiny that was fulfilled, right? What did he say? By faith, everybody say by faith, when he had grown up. Look to your neighbor and say, grow up. Come on, say it with some conviction. Come on, grow up. Huh? Listen, you will never discover your identity as long as you are living in infancy. Okay? Destiny requires maturity, okay? But the biblical definition of maturity has nothing to do with your chronological age. Joseph was 17 years old, right, when God revealed his destiny. Samuel was just a little boy when he was sleeping in the temple, right? And you're like, David was a teenager when God anointed him. You understand? Maturity from a biblical perspective is the ability to discern the difference between good and evil, to know what God wants and doesn't want, to know what God likes and doesn't like, and the ability to choose what God likes in your life. Maturity means you don't struggle with your identity because of outer circumstances. I don't know, I'm forsaken. Oh, I'm not good. Oh, I'm a failure. That's immaturity. That you, in every situation, you know the truth and you are able to choose truth. That's called maturity. You want to pursue your destiny, you must pursue maturity. Speaking the truth in love causes you to grow up. instead of speaking lies out of fear. Hmm? The discovery of Moses' destiny began when he became of age, when he grew up. Hmm? I remember on our way, Cindy and I were talking right here this morning, right? And then we're talking about sense of destiny, and she was saying, it's up. And I was telling her, it's okay, because in the 30s is like when you really understand your destiny. Like when you really recognize, this is my destiny, and I am living out my destiny. And she's like, well, it's opposite for me. In the 20s, I had goals, and I met them. I knew what I was doing. But in the 30s, now that I have to worry or care about what God likes, that means I have to ask God. So I don't know what to do. I feel more lost. I feel more far away from my destiny. And you know what I told her? No, no. No, what you experience in your 20s is not your destiny. Huh? The fact that you don't know what to do because you have to ask God means Cindy finally have matured. Everybody, give her a clap. Come on. Hmm? Maturity means not what I want, but what he wants. Trusting that what he wants in my life is better, is greater than what I thought that I wanted in my life. By faith, when he became of age, Moses refused. Everybody say refused. He refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated among the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. You know what helped Moses to really start that walk of destiny is when he accepted his identity as an Israelite, as a child of God. Hmm? As a child of God. Moses woke up one day and said, okay, I'm done. I'm obviously not an Egyptian. So I'm going to stop pretending to be an Egyptian. I'm ready to stop playing the fence. I'm a child of Israel, and I am ready to embrace my Israelite identity fully. You know what God is saying to you today? Accept your identity as a child of God. You are a child of God. You are made for more. There's more. All it takes is for you to recognize that and accept that. Hmm? You cannot discover what you are. This is Benjamin. I'm quoting my husband. You cannot discover what you are until you discover who you are. And then the moment you discover who you are, you discover what you're not. Hmm? You want to live out your destiny, you have to decide to grow up. There are things that you have to say, no more. No more. Everybody say no more. God is saying, God is putting his foot down and some of the things, no more crying about what you don't have. You understand? No more crying about, I should be far beyond where I am. No more crying about, I don't have this, but she has that. No more crying. You understand? No more going out, getting drunk. No more going out to a bar late at night. I'm not going to get drunk. I'm just, you know. You understand? There are certain things God is speaking to you. No more. No more. No. Everybody say no more. No more. You know what that no more was for me when I was in 20s? No dating. So Benjamin has this amazing testimony that I want Aletheia to have, which is no sex, no alcohol, no smoking, no nothing, right? Just in love with Jesus from age 6 and, you know, get the call of God age 12, right? And start traveling the world age 16, right? And right? I want that for my child. But sadly, I don't have that testimony, right? I ran away from home age 16, got into cocaine, drugs, clubbing at age 17. And you would, it's hard to believe, right? This naive looking Korean pastor, right? It's like, what? Yeah. You know, Sanford Gary Street, the lot of, man, I used to roll, yeah. I'm not proud. But you know what? Once I rededicated my life to God, God said no more. No more. No more. And so I made the decision. I had to grow up. I had to grow up. I said, no more. God, I want to give you the rest of my youth. So at age 19, I said, I will not date until you give me my husband. Growing up, Benjamin used to make fun of me, guys. When we were just friends, he's like, Sonny, how are you going to find your husband if you don't date? You got to date. You want me to set you up? You gotta date. You gotta date. He used to make fun of me all the time. I'm like, no. And he's like, Sonny, you gotta change your gift of tongue. When you pray in tongues, you're like celibacy. You gotta change that if you wanna get married. He used to make fun of me, right? But I had to fight those peer pressure and say, no. No more. I said, not only will I keep my physical body pure for my husband, but emotionally, mentally, I want to keep myself pure, God, before you and before my husband. And so I had to persevere, guys. Even though I went to Bible college and seminary, there are times when it was difficult. My friends, seminarian friends, would go to a bar, right? And they would just, you know, go on a date here and there. And sometimes my heart's like, you know, they're not sleeping together, maybe, you know. But inside of me, I drew the line, no more. And so when my friends were out, when they were lonely, I persevered in my bedroom. Jesus! No more. Everybody say no more. There are certain things, and maybe you're not living a lifestyle that you need to change, but maybe God is saying, maybe you need to not open your computer after a certain time. There are certain things, I want you to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit today. There are certain things, in order for you to grow up, there are certain things that you have to make a decision today and say, no more, because I'm going to grow up today. When your being is secured in your identity, guess what? Then your heart is moved. You understand? When you are able to grow up and you say no more, you silence the lies, the busyness of this world, and you give your heart and your mind to Jesus. Something inside of you, that destiny that's already inside of you, the awareness of that destiny awakens. When Moses refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, something in him arose, and he saw, it bothered him that Israelites were being persecuted. You hear me? It bothered him. And he felt like something had to be done. So if you look at Exodus chapter 2 from 11 to 15, he looks. And this is moment. He's like, okay, I am not an Egyptian. I am an Israelite. And he looks and he sees an Egyptian beating up an Israelite. And something inside is like, no, that is not okay. And something inside, I got to do something about it. And on his own, he looked to the left. He looked to the right, and he killed the Egyptian. He buried the Egyptian there. And then the next day, he sees two Israelites fighting. It's like something inside him says, no, this is not okay. It's like, why are you fighting? Same blood. You're an Israelite. You're a child of God. And what do? Who do you think you are? Are you going to kill me like you killed an Egyptian? You see, when you try to live out your destiny yourself. Hmm? When you try to make it work, you get rejected. You fail, in a sense. And what does Moses have to do? He had to run away because the Pharaoh was going to kill him. When you say no more, when you choose to grow up, when you refuse to be known as a son of a Pharaoh's daughter, when you are able to say, God, I'm going to put everything in you. I'm not going to trust this or that. When you are able to do that, when you are able to live from your identity as a child of God, guess what? The passion is awoken inside of you, okay? There are three types of passion. Okay, you ready for this? Number one is avid enthusiasm. Things you love to do, spoken words, right? For me, growing up, soccer was my passion. If you came to my room, I had a soccer ball, right? I had like Korean, like World Cup soccer team. I had Korean flag, right? I had soccer candle. I had soccer clock. I had soccer everything, right? Soccer jerseys, right? Like something that you love, you know? Like Benjamin used to get so mad at me during World Cup because like 2, 3 in the morning, I'm wearing all red by myself, right? And I'm watching. I'm like, ah! I'm screaming, and our neighbors are banging on my door, and Benjamin Zimber's like, Sonny, what are you doing? They're going to call the cops on me. I'm like, hey, we just made a goal, right? Avid enthusiasm is something you love to do. You're excited, right? And then number two, empathic longing. Empathic longing is a passion, though. It's the holy hurt that you experience when you see the pain of others. Just like God gave me this empathic longing, this passion for orphans. You know, I used to daydream about, like, taking care of orphans and feeding them and making them pretty and giving them everything they need. Right? I used to daydream about meeting the needs of the orphans. Empathic longing, a holy hurt that you experience when you see the pain of others. And then lastly, there's moral indignation. Everybody say moral indignation. Moral indignation is an holy anger that stirs in your heart in the presence of injustice. Did you know, actually, I don't know if Mickey, if you remember, it's the moral indignation type of passion that brought you and me together. Yeah, before you came to Living Hope, God, like, really, like, I remember one day, like, I couldn't sleep. I was sick, and God started to give me this moral indignation against sex trafficking. And I was, like, researching, praying, and then we got together, even with Not For Sale, and we got our church together, and we wanted to raise a certain amount of money to open a safe house in Cambodia, right? And so, and during that time, we're going to make a CD, right, worship CD with from local artists, and then we're going to do a big concert. And that's when I actually contacted you and said, come, right? And you sang Not For Sale that you wrote, right? So moral indignation, yes. So why am I talking about passion, right? You want to pursue your destiny? You got to pay attention to these type of passions that God has given you. What are you excited about? When are your heart most moved? Willie Perez, one of our Living Hoper, when he took the ABBA conference, he realized his avid enthusiasm is making the best pizza in the world. Yeah, I want to use the best ingredients and make the best pizza. But was there a sense of destiny in it itself? No. But then he had this moral indignation towards sex trafficking. It's like something has to be done. So avid enthusiasm, I want to make the best pizza in the world. And then more enthusiasm, I want to stop sex trafficking. I want to rescue girls. You know what he did? So he combined it. And his destiny is Sliver Pizzeria, where he opened it and he shared the vision, right? And so the certain percentage of what he makes from making the best pizza in the world, he gives to rescue the girls. Even worship leaders. Yeah, My passion is worship, writing the best worship song in itself. But there's that longing, that empathic longing that through the song that I write, I want to usher people into the throne room of God. You hear me? So you got to pay attention to these three types of passion that God has given you. Living with sense of destiny not only will empower you to finish well, but it will preserve you. Okay? And number three, it will direct you towards the destiny. I'm going to end, if I could have whoever worship people come up. I want to tell you three short stories about sense of destiny. You know, if you listen to one of my sermon from Living Hope, like a few weeks ago, I talk about my best friend, one of my best friend, Anna, that she ended up in jail because they ended up killing a person doing deliverance ministry. She was in jail. When she came out, she had to start all over again. So many people judged her. And she felt that sense of guilt, shame. Anybody would have given up in becoming a servant of God, right? Like, you played a part in killing somebody. That's pretty traumatic, isn't it? But you know, it kept her from giving up. You know what kept her from giving up? The sense of destiny. Even though I've done wrong, even though I failed, that sense of destiny inside of her empowered her to persevere in the seasons of darkness, in the seasons of shame. It kept her from giving up. When you live with the awareness of sense of destiny that God has placed inside of you, it's going to help you, strengthen you from giving up. You know, the sense of destiny in my life for the orphans, you know what it did? It guided me. It guided my steps, and it led me to the mission field. When you live with the sense of destiny, God uses it to direct your path. And with Benjamin's sense of destiny, you know what it did? It protected him. Being born and raised in the ghetto of Oakland, all his friends, sex, drugs, that was actually popular. Was he tempted? Probably. But what protected him from joining in? His sense of destiny from a young age. I sense in my spirit that God wants to fan the destiny that he had placed in each one of you. He wants to bring more awareness to the sense of destiny that is inside of you today. You hear me? One of the things that you must stop doing is saying, I don't know. For millennials, that's what I hear all the time. What are you passionate about? What do you want to do? What? I don't know. And your belief that you don't know will keep you from being aware of the destiny, the sense of destiny that God had placed. You know what God desires in you today? To allow the sense of destiny inside of you to be awakened. For you to sense, to sense it deep inside of your soul that there's more to you. There's more to you than what you know. There's more to you than what you're living out. There's more that God is calling out of you. You have to stop saying, I don't know. And I need you to allow the Holy Spirit to fan that fire. Fan that fire that is inside of you. If you could all join me and stand up. I want to spend some time praying. And as we pray, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, awaken. Come on, pray. Awaken in me, God, the sense of destiny that you have placed in me, God. Awaken in me. Cancel every lie of the enemy that I am nothing, that I can do nothing, God. Father, yeah, surely we are nothing and we can do nothing apart from you. But in you, God, you want to release something in and through us in you. Awaken right now, Lord. Awaken. Father, cancel every lie of the enemy, every voice of the enemy that keeps your sons and daughters, God, from becoming more aware of the destiny that is inside of them.